Welcome to the latest FT Advisor Editors podcast with me, Simni Kyriakou, editor of FT Advisor. In this series for 2024, I'll be in conversation with people whose expertise sits outside of UK financial services, but whose work and research can have great lessons for advice businesses and wider financial services companies. Today, we're focusing on a few words. Talent is everywhere, opportunities are not. This is wording taken from the mission statement of youth empowerment charity Urban Synergy. Founded in 2007, the charity has helped more than 20,000 young people, aged between 9 and 24 years old, to reach their full potential. Part of the work of Urban Synergy is to create mentoring programs and help young people build confidence, connecting them with aspirational yet relatable role models, mentors, and working in companies and with companies across the UK. It also has a thriving schools program aiming to reach children early to show them how to bridge that gap between education and the workplace. With me today is Leela Thomas. She's the founder and chief executive of Urban Synergy. She's going to talk to us about the work of the charity, the needs of young people today, and what financial services companies, large and small, can do to help bring in new talent. Leela, thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Why was Urban Synergy launched and what does it do?
Well, Urban Synergy was launched just before 2007 to basically bring diversity in the city. The reason being is because I used to manage a team of men in the city, and very quickly, being a female working in technology, the company I worked for noticed there was underrepresentation in that area and thought, what can we do to bring people who look like me to work in technology? However, when we looked across the estate, all companies in the city, there was underrepresentation that needed to be addressed. So we thought, what can we do to work together and what is actually causing this problem, not seeing diverse talent coming into technology and into the financial industry across the board? So that's where Urban Synergy was really born. And I thought, well, I'm not anything really special. You know, I didn't go to university, but I've got the ability to able to transition to work in the industry and in the financial industry. What is the problem why we're not seeing females come into technology, and why aren't we seeing, you know, diversity coming through into the financial industry in general? But it was kind of going back into grassroots to widen that talent pipeline. And what we noticed was, you know, if you didn't have people in your family that worked in the financial industry, where are you getting that information from? Yeah. How are you becoming aware? How do you get the opportunities to actually transition from school into the workplace? And that's where Urban Synergy is really born from, to create a model to help young people transition from school into the workplace.
And it's before the 2010 Equalities Anti-Discrimination in the Workplace Act. So there are a lot of things, you know, I went through certain things back then as well, where, you know, you just think, golly, I'm a woman in a very male-dominated industry, and people sort of can say things to me and get away with it. You know, I can be paid less and, you know, people get away with it. There was definitely the zeitgeist of that time was it's not what you know, it's who you know.
That's right.
And generally speaking, it was, you know, who you know. You had to know sort of middle-class white men, really, then.
Yeah. And then also we started to see or started to notice, you know, many captains of industry have mentors. You know, that's how they thrive. Many leaders, managers, senior managers get opportunities, you know, to demonstrate their talent. And then that's how they be realised to get, you know, promotions and everything like that. So we thought, that's exactly what young people need. So who's being the advocate for young people to provide opportunities to them to access, you know, work experience opportunities, or providing, you know, inspiration so they can see people who look like them to look up to? Because I believe everyone should have somebody, every young person should have somebody who looks like them to look up to. And that's where it becomes really powerful.
Yeah, that representational point is a really important one. And it almost seems, Maybe sad isn't quite the right word, but to me it feels a shame that we still have to talk about this in 2024, you know, when we've had the so-called Equalities Act and we've had years and years of people talking about this and building on this. Yet there's still this big mismatch, isn't there, between young people's ambitions and the opportunities that are available to them. Why is that?
The mismatch is, it's still, as much as time moves on, it's a culture that we need to build, really. We need, you know, if you're born into a family that doesn't have those professionals in there, you're going to miss that information. So it's raising awareness of the opportunities in the city. You know, these are young people that can see the city from their bedroom windows.
Mm.
So what we're doing is we're bringing role models into schools, actually from primary schools, because actually that's where young people are forming decisions from that early age.
Mm.
And what the role models do is provide real-time career insights to young people so they can see, oh, that person works in technology, that person maybe works, there's different jobs in the city, because their perceptions maybe is that the city is all a certain type of person, it's all a certain type of job. But what the role models do is showcase all the different types of jobs there are in the city. Every company has, you know, marketing, it has law, it has even creative, you know, studios, you know, making videos. And what we're doing is showcasing to young people how their skills or what they enjoy doing, they can link their skills to the workplace. So once we've raised awareness and raised their aspirations and broadened their career horizons, then what Urban Synergy does is help young people through that life cycle of the journey. So once they can see the disconnect, like how their skills can fit into the workplace, we can, they have an opportunity to connect with a mentor to help them build their CVs and mock interview skills, and then the latter stage, access jobs in the city. So we do have young people that we've known from primary school now working in the financial industry in the city, which is really powerful. So that's the blueprint that we want to really expand on, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I think that's right. A lot of young people, I do a lot of youth work as well. I sort of got volunteered into that 20 years ago and I'm sort of still doing it. And a lot of young people, when I talk to them that I write for financial advisors, they said, that you have to have money to have a financial advisor. And sometimes, yes, there is, you know, you have to have a certain amount of investable assets because there's no point going to an advisor and saying, I've got nothing to invest, can you help me invest? But financial advisors are, I found, are an amazing bunch of people. You know, they will talk you through everything, whether you've got life insurance or help you set up a savings plan or even help you budget. So there's kind of this fallacy, but unless you know, then you don't know, right?
Yeah.
So it's kind of getting that information across. I'd like to see some of the young people that I do youth work with. I'd like to see them go into finance, but you know, maybe a couple have joined the army, so they're just to get away from me. I think that's you know, that's understandable. But you mentioned earlier that it's important for young people to see people like me in companies. Why is that such a big thing?
So some of the things I learnt about on my journey. That makes, you know, what we need to do to kind of crack this social mobility puzzle. You know, how did I transition into working to where I work today? And then I became aware of, you know, intersectionality and the experiences that we all have. You know, the boys will say, you don't understand, you're not a man, you know, or the females don't see the role models. They might see Bob the Builder on the bookshelf from primary school. So, you know, it's interesting because we've recently done a paper on Urban Synergy's future outlook, next gen access to city jobs. And it showed that, you know, 28% of more black men want to come into the city. But what we need to do is open up pathways for them to see, you know, how they can transition across into the city. But seeing the intersectionality and seeing people that look like me is really important because of the city as a way of working with. It's your how you speak, accentism, you know. There might be experiences that we've had, you know, when I've been working in technology, people, I think females don't work in this industry. So they're really shocked. Like, oh my God, what are you doing here? You know, or even just perceptions of those barriers. So people like us don't work in places like that.
Yeah, you don't even dress like me.
You don't even dress like me. And there's kind of a, will I fit in? But so it's really powerful that we do see people that look like, you know, me, for example, working in places like that, because it gives them hope and it gives them confidence. I share, you know, lived experience stories, how I overcame challenges or those perceptions. And actually, it's a good place to work. I've enjoyed it. So once they see, all right, okay, it's a good place to work. the benefits are XYZ, and you share information of how I've overcome challenges, it opens up pathways.
Yeah.
And that's what I've heard. You know, recently we were speaking in assemblies, or we've had role models talking in assemblies, and we've had role models talking about their, you know, neurodiversity, you know, role models talking about their dyslexic and their lawyers, or their, we've got people who, females working in all male. And so it gives young people, all right, that person's like me. If you can work there, so can I. Yeah. I didn't go to university. It's not because I wasn't able to go to university. I chose not to go to university. And it just showcases there's so many different pathways to working in the city. And I think it's really important to see, you know, see real diversity in the city. We have to nurture that talent so we can widen the talent pipeline and give hope to those young people to navigate onto those, you know, those jobs in the city.
Are there enough role models? I don't like it to think that we're just kind of having four or five people who are the spokespeople. You know, you are neurodivergent, therefore you are the spokesperson, the mouthpiece for all people who are neurodivergent. You know, do we have enough role models to go around?
We can't have enough. I mean, we can always do with more. You know, the charity is always looking for more role models to sign to sign up to the charity. I think it's how we get that news out. I think we have to celebrate those successes. If you go into the local schools, you know, working at grassroots, it's really important that young people can see role models and can see how they can link their skills to the workplace. So the schools are asking for more. You know, we work with schools, we've got access to schools across the UK, and they're asking for more role models, how we work together to crack this, might as well call it like a social mobility, bringing more diversity in the city puzzle together. But it's not just the role modelling piece that's needed. The role modelling piece is great for inspiring, broadening career horizons and raising aspirations. But there's a that's just the start of the journey. So what Urban Synergy does, it's helping young people through the life cycle. So once they've inspired them, when they get a bit older, they can access a mentor to develop those essential, you know, skills and make sure they're equipped to go into the workplace. And then the other bit is working with organisations to put them in the corridors of future employers so they can practice those skills and see how, you know, have real experience that they can add onto their CVs. And also, I know you said it's about who you know, but it's also about who knows you. So what we're doing, we're putting those that talent in front, in the corridors of future employers, so they can hire from them and become aware of them and see the talent for who they are, and job opportunities come from that. That's the ripple effect.
That's a great ripple effect. How could financial advisors sort of become mentors?
So there's so many different ways with the charities. We've got different, obviously, you know, lockdown, we created, we've got a hybrid model. So no matter where you are in the UK, you can connect to our model and support young people. So whether that's in person or virtually. Financial literacy is really important as well. So once the young people are part of, call it the system or the you know, the future employers, and they're making those early careers and they're earning money, you know, it's how to invest that money as well. It's like economic empowerment as well for those young people. So financial literacy is really important for helping, you know, young people to become part of the economic empowerment process as well.
Yeah, I was going to come on to that, looking at the school curriculum. Is there still more to go? I mean, do we have enough knowledge about financial education or financial resilience built into the school curriculum?
What we've noticed with the school curriculum, for academic excellence is great, but what the charity does is provide that additional support. So teachers, sometimes what we've noticed and what they come to us for, they've obviously gone through the education system and become teachers themselves, but they haven't got the real-time financial industry, how can I say it?
Knowledge? No.
Knowledge, that's it, it's the knowledge. So what the charity does, when you're actually a profession working in that industry, you've got that information real-time to impart that information onto the young people. And that's the additional support that we give. It's the real-time industry knowledge insights that we can embark onto young people. So that's why that's what the Urban Synergy model does, is bring that real-time career insights to young people so they can make informed decisions. It's really powerful. But also working at grassroots, those communities are getting exposure to the role models, getting exposure to those work experience opportunities, build trust and in the system. So then, you know, once they transition across, obviously they can make money, and then they want to find out how can they reinvest that money for themselves, to help their families, themselves as well, which is really powerful.
Yeah, we've done work on Kickstart and other things here at the FT. And one of the things that surprised me was, and it was a really wonderful learning experience for me as well, was that sometimes some of these young people actually have no idea what an office environment is like.
Yeah.
So they don't understand hierarchies. They don't understand seating arrangements. They don't understand, it's not about the importance of timekeeping, because they always look very smart and professional, you know, and they're always on time, but just understanding sort of what meetings are for and, you know, there's a time to speak up and there's a time not to.
Yeah.
And just kind of navigating those things as well can be so daunting for a young person, and they can think, well, actually, I don't fit in at all.
That's right.
But I think that would be sort of a really good skill, you know, that transition from being in education, where you can just put your hand up and ask a question right there and then. I mean, you can't always do that when you're at a conference. You have set time. No, when the panel is finished, then you can talk.
Yeah.
Do not put your hand up until the roving mic comes around the room. But, you know, there are certain little nuances that, you know, I guess, take for granted, maybe because we were thrown at the deep end. We learned the hard way and we've kind of forgotten. I mean, you know, at my certain age, which we shall not divulge, you know, you sort of almost forget what it was like to be brand new and wide-eyed and bushy-tailed and coming into this industry with...
Yeah, that's right. I can tell you about a story. Back in 2007, we worked... the government had an initiative called the London Challenge Programme.
Mm-hmm.
And we worked with a group of boys from Deptford Green School. And they were called the London Challenge Boys. Didn't really like the name of that, but it is what it is. And decided, okay, look, there's a problem here where we're not seeing diverse talent coming into the city. Let's work at grassroots and see what we can do by listening to the young people and work together to see how we can solve this problem. And at that time, the problem was we were seeing high unemployment, there's crime, there's a number of things that we were trying to unpick here. Well, the London Challenge Boys, and what we did, when we spoke to them, they had aspirations, they had academic ability, but it was a lack of opportunities. And we've seen this mirrored in the research paper that we've done when we've surveyed, you know, over 600 young people. It showed that maybe around about 50% said they, you know, wanted to work in the city, but weren't confident to do that. But the young people on our Urban Synergy programme jumped to 90% because they had work experience of having, you know, in the city, and having mentors and role models made them confident. So we're missing out on, you know, 40% of talent. And taking the London Challenge Boys, we're providing that mentoring and that support. And like you said, we gave them assimilated the workplace, let's say that. So, you know, they went to Downing Street, they met Prince Charles, they did work experience in the Old Bailey, in top companies as well. That built their confidence. And also they had real life work opportunities, which built up their resilience. So they're now working in the city in financial organisations now. Right. They're actually judging awards. They're actually mentors themselves. They're doing extremely well and actually, you know, giving back to the charity. So that's the blueprint. But it's really given them, I suppose if you go to private school or you've got, you know, your parents working in these industries, we've provided those same opportunities to them to develop their skill set. So when they enter the workplace, they're confident and can navigate and have those boardroom meetings as well. So it's kind of, we're redefining C-suite excellence, you might as well say. Nurturing diversity, because you can't recruit diversity. You have to nurture diversity. And I think what we're seeing from what the companies are saying is actually retaining diverse talent is an issue as well. But if there's not enough talent in that pipeline, it becomes really competitive. So you'll be always losing talent because you need more talent to be coming into the pipeline. And also there's research showing when you nurture talent, they become more loyal. So that's where the Urban Synergy really model really comes in. But the thing I really do love about Urban Synergy as well, that everybody's on board on this journey. We have CEOs mentoring on our program. We've got early career people mentoring on our program. It's everybody's working together. It's good for society. It's good for individuals, and it's good for business as well.
That's a really powerful message. Just to talk about what more can financial services professionals do. So, how can they come to you? Do they just sort of email you and say, "Hi, I'd like to be a mentor"? I mean, is it as simple as that, or do they need to have a thing? Do they need to have a thing? Like, a lot of people just don't have a thing.
You know, they've had so many different professionals saying, "Oh, what could I do? Oh, I don't know what I could offer a young person." Like, oh my God, you do this. So basically, you know, if you've got a job, you've been through school and you've got a job, that's the quality we're looking for. What we're looking for the financial institutions to do really, though, is to partner with us, because that's where we're seeing true change happen. Because when we partner with organisations, it really does create an open pathway for young people to transition through. So it starts from primary schools. We don't just bring young people into the corporate sweetie shop, inspire them, and then say bye. And then they're like, okay, what do I do next? We don't just bring young people we've got into the workplace on an apprenticeship or, you know, early career role and walk away. We have, Urban Synergy has an alumni network.
Okay.
So they can continue to grow. And that alumni network, they provide support across the city. So we've got young people working in Salesforce, Goldman Sachs, M&G PLC, Willis Towers Watson, London Stock Exchange, loads of organisations. So they're a kind of a peer support network for them, so they can continue to grow within within their life cycle journey. Yeah. So it's an end-to-end journey that we're working with. So what we're looking for is organisations to partner with us so that they can provide their employees. We can use their employee volunteering time so that employees can mentor and be a role model. Senior leaders as well can do that, because we believe by leading from the front as well, because we can all be role models and mentors. So it's really important for employees to see their leaders involved in initiatives that are like this, because it showcases that it's just, you know, organisations are inclusive and they're really open to making a difference with regards to social mobility and diversity as well. And then once we've done that, there's a pathway that we can work with their early career departments. So we're not just, and we're actually pipelining, you know, the young people that we work with. Once they're inspired and they've had a mentor, they're ready for work. They can compete with everybody else, but there's a real opportunity that they can apply for. So if they don't get that opportunity within that organisation that we partner with, it's just City of London. We all are working, we all want to progress together with City of London companies. And that's how we're bringing real diversity into the city. It's not just fishing from the same talent pools of, not everybody can afford to go to university.
No, of course. And nowadays, you know, most people are thinking about apprenticeships or of, you know, vocational training anyway. Can I just ask, I mean, obviously, you know, that you're talking about the city, but you said you also do work across the UK. So lots of our advisors are based outside of London. They're in Scotland, Northern Ireland, Cornwall, you know, you name it. You know, Newcastle. I don't want to offend anyone. If I've missed anyone from East Anglia, I don't want to offend anyone by not mentioning an area of the UK.
But, Northern Ireland, everywhere.
You know, what can maybe a small regional financial advisor do?
They can. They can do a lot. It's literally partner with Urban Synergy, and then we put a model in place that we can work with you to help young people from schools transition into the workplace, but also helping them to have that, those skills to just be positive contributors to the economy in general. But I'm really saying to you that, you know, doing good feels good. If once we partner with organisations, that's when we're seeing that transformational change. And we have the model that works with young people from the age of 9 to the age of 24. So if you want to make a real difference in your local community, Urban Synergy can do that with you. We're actually doing that. We're doing things in Birmingham at the moment as well now with organisations. So we're working with their staff, bringing them into the local community and showing, like I said, it's people that they, relatable role models. Yeah. They think, oh my God, you know, you live near me, you talk like me, you
went to the same school.
You went to the same school as me. And that's when, you know, or I've got a passion for history and I didn't know, or geography, I didn't know that connected with, you know, you do environmental in the workplace, you know.
Yeah.
I didn't know finance could cut across so many different subjects. And that's what we bring to light. So they think, oh my gosh, you travel with your job. I would love to travel and you're doing this type of role, which I can do.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, Leela, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us and giving us an insight into the valuable work that Urban Synergy does. I am afraid that it's all that we've got time for. I'm looking at the clock and hoping I could squeeze a few more minutes out, but I make someone with some angry synergy wanting to use a podcast studio now. So, but thank you very much. And thank you for listening. If you want to find out more, do visit urbansynergy.com and do check out FT Advisor's CPD curriculum for content about apprenticeships, hiring, training and retaining young professionals. Until next time, take care.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. In unscripted conversations with investment professionals, you'll hear real stories about successes and lessons learned, informed by decades of investment experience. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. New episodes are available monthly. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes in an episode today. Published by American Funds Distributors, Inc.